Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Happy hump day. Great to have you here. Congressman Nick Laneworthy joins the show at 2 o'clock. He'll be talking about the Energy Choice Act, among other things happening in the capital of the United States, which is open for business. Before we get to our topics today, there's a certain coach hiring that I'm not going to talk about. It's not Buffalo. It's not local. We're not going to talk about it. But I continue to be on cloud nine. But there is something we can talk about, and we're going to for 30 seconds before we get into our topic. How about the UB Bulls men's basketball team? Round of applause. 5-0. They defeat Vermont last night, 94-90, right behind us on UB's North Campus. This Daniel Freitag, who they was a transfer from Wisconsin. And I say, this is what UB needs to do. Offer to be a place to get your career back on track, and then you can transfer to one of the bigger schools. I think it'll be very successful. This kid has gone off the last two games, 33 points yesterday to help UB defeat Vermont. They are undefeated, 5-0. That includes a win at Big East DePaul in Chicago. The UB Bulls are 5-0. They're four wins away from matching last year's season total. Five games into the season, they're four away from matching last year's season total. So shout out to the UB Bulls. They are home next Monday. It's an early game at 1:30. And then again, that's against VMI, Virginia Military Institute. And then against Bucknell on the 26th at 1:30. And then they're at Canisius on Saturday the 29th for a 6 p.m. Tip, and then they got the Bonnies here the following Saturday at 2. So shout out to UB men's basketball, 5-0 start, and go support the UB Bulls. Awesome stuff happening over on UB's campus. And then, you know, in a month, they'll be in MAC conference play, playing for positioning in the MAC tournament. So awesome job. Congratulations to the University of Buffalo Bulls and their hot start, again, including a win at Big East DePaul. Big East, one of the top conferences in college basketball. Can't look past that. UB was 18.5-point underdogs, won that game, and have continued to beat their opponents. No better way to say it. So again, they'll be home Monday the 24th, 2:30 tip-off against VMI. Again, right here in Amherst. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show today. Lots to talk about. As I mentioned, Congressman Nick Laneworthy is going to join us at 2 o'clock to talk about the Energy Choice Act that passed through the subcommittee. But before then, and Tanner, I'm sorry. I don't like to make Tanner do extra work. I left a story on the printer. When you get a second, you don't have to do it now. I'm terribly sorry. I'm an idiot. I want to talk about something that is happening locally. And if you're like me, you've noticed it, especially the last few months, but I would say over the last year, I have noticed an increase in deer in Western New York. And you might say, Joe, my gosh, Joe, really? Deer talk? Not really. It's going to expand from deer talk, but the deer population has definitely skyrocketed. And I know thank you so much, Tanner. I know I have moved to a more out out there area back in Clarence Center. But still, I mean, I'm noticing deer on Sheridan Drive in Amherst. I saw a deer that had been hit in the shoulder of Transit Road right after the overpass. So you're noticing it more and more. And here's another thing. I'm noticing deer in the middle of the day. Like, it used to be, okay, you know, it's starting to get dark outside. You got to keep your eyes open for deer. I had a deer run across Worley in the middle of the day, like in the middle of the morning. So you're seeing more and more. And I would argue deer, maybe they've gotten into the human ultra processed food because the deer look bigger than they've ever been before. Well, it looks like they're packing on the pounds. So that's my first point, is the increase in deer and just what to do about it. You know, I mean, obviously each town, you know, covers it differently, right? You've got you've got dedicated people that will go out there and try to reduce the deer population. Obviously, hunting season, which I have no idea when that is. I've always said I want to get into hunting. You know, maybe one of these years I'll do it and I'll know the schedule. But you know, you don't have people camped out on transit looking for deer. That would be very dangerous. So what to do with this increasing deer population? It's actually been a talking point in West Seneca, where Supervisor Gary Dixon has said the deer population is rising. Supervisor Gary Dixon says while he doesn't have an exact count, he estimates more than 1,000 deer have been in West Seneca. He told WBEN, "We do know that there are way more deer than the public would like to have. That's true. His residents have led several campaigns ranging from poop on their lawns to disease and to collision with cars." Now, there's two things when I think deer. I think ticks, right? Ticks are one. But yes, it's driving, and it is the hazard that deer cause, especially when trying to cross major roads, right? Like, I expect when I'm on Harris Hill or when I'm on Roll Road or anything back there, that, yeah, there's probably going to, you know, there'll probably be deer sometime my trip from transit to my house, right? That's going to happen. Where I think people are getting caught off guard are on major roads. Again, Transit Road is still busy at 10 o'clock at night. No one's expecting a deer to be running across. Now, you've got to be alert, and, you know, I would argue that Transit Road is more lit up than a Roll Road or something like that. Another place, and this is when I lived on Main Street, when I lived in Amherst, Young's and Sheridan. I don't know if there's a club there for the deer. That's a popular hangout for deer in Amherst. So as West Seneca is going public and trying to find ways to reduce the population of deer, I have to say, I think this is a Western New York issue. I think it expands past West Seneca, and I would argue that people in Lancaster, Clarence, Amherst, Cheektowaga would also say that they have noticed an increase in deer. And again, I'm talking about an increase in places that you 10 years ago didn't see deer, right? I think that's fair to say, and at times you didn't see deer, right? Again, I can't remember deer in the middle of the day running across the street on a regular basis. And now, at least once a week, the middle of the day, I'm seeing a deer run across a busy street. And, you know, it's either you hit the deer. Sometimes you're put in a situation where it's you hit the deer or you hit another car. And the reason I want to get into this is because of the car aspect of it. But before we get to the car aspect of it, Cheryl's in Orchard Park, which is very close to West Seneca, and has a comment on this, and we don't want to leave Cheryl waiting. Cheryl, thank you so much for calling in.
Hey, how you doing? So, you know, the deal is that, like, 5 years ago, Orchard Park put a thing in place where no more new builds. Well, all these other homes got grandfathered in before they did that. So all of a sudden, we see all these new homes go up, okay? I'm talking not rural country. I'm only 10 minutes from the 219, okay? They put all these new homes up. Now, the animals have nowhere to go. The fox, the coyotes, the deer, the raccoons, everything, okay? And, yeah, of course you're going to see more and more, and they're running around. They have nowhere to go. West Seneca, keep building. Keep building. They had an Aldi's. That wasn't good enough. They had to build another Aldi's right down the road from it, which is two blocks away. Tim Hortons, every street corner. I mean, it's ridiculous. All these chains that have to keep closing buildings to build a new one to get tax benefits and everything. People that can't, you know, there's enough homes. People keep saying, oh, there ain't enough homes for everybody. Yes, there is.
Yeah.
My daughter's looking for a home. And they look at 10 homes a week. There's enough homes for everybody. But people want new. In 5 years, you're going to find out that all these homes that were built during right past COVID, them homes are going to be up for sale because people are overbidding. They don't have the money. They won't have the money.
Oh, for sure. For
but
sure.
It's building.
Yep. No, for sure. That's the bubble that we're waiting for to pop is that COVID madness that everyone was going in, not even getting inspections and buying homes. Cheryl, I think you bring up a great point. You know, I used to live behind Tops on Southwestern in Orchard Park, and there was a field when you would come out of, it's called the Hammocks. And now, as you mentioned, there's an Aldi there. Part of me wishes the Aldi was there when I was living there, but another part of me is exactly what you say. Now all the wildlife that was in that field has been displaced, and that's what's running into West Seneca.
That's right. Now, where you live, if you go down Mile Strip, okay, that used to be all farmland. I talked to a farmer probably about 15 years ago. I said, oh, you're selling everything? He said, yeah, I'm older, this and that. So behind Tops, all that was owned by a farmer. He used to raise crops and everything. He said, I'm just getting old. I'm not getting, you know, paid this, what I should be getting paid for the stuff. And, you know, it started out way back then. But that's been there for a bit. And now all them animals have to find somewhere to go. And like you said, Aldi's. And then, you know, I mean, you got all these new places. I mean, do we need a Tim Hortons on every corner? No. No,
I mean, I'm telling you, we're getting to the point where it's not only Tim Hortons on every corner, it's a Starbucks on every corner.
Starbucks, Tim Hortons, Aldi's, all your chains.
So Cheryl, where we are now, because I'm not disputing anything you're saying, but now we're in the situation where these animals are displaced. What is the answer?
I think that they need to drop pellets in a food form that they're going to eat, and it's a birth control.
Yeah.
It's a birth control. Because shooting them ain't the answer, because you got these ding-dongs that are shooting, you know, that aren't 500 feet away from a house. We got it right on where we live, okay? We got people that go out and hunt. They're not 500 feet from a structure, and they're shooting up the woods. And you can't do that. Somebody's going to get hurt. That's how people get hurt. They got to do it realistically, and they got to do it money-wise, you know, to, you know, satisfy, you know, the budget and the whole nine yards. Birth control, they should use it for deer. They should use it for geese. And so be it. And if they do that for 2 or 3 years in a row, it'll slow the herd down. It'll slow the reproduction of them down. And that, to me, is what needs to be done.
Cheryl, you know? Cheryl, I think you hit some points and some points that I have said. You know, I'm all for progress, but when you're building new developments, when there are old, empty, abandoned buildings, old, empty, abandoned structures just laying around, I think we should take care of those places first and find suitors and redevelop there before we get rid of more land to develop. I completely agree with that.
God forbid if Orchard Park, West Seneca, Hamburg, you know, Collins, Colden, North Boston puts a statute of limitations, no more building, no new structures for 3 years. If you want to bring a new business into place, find an abandoned building like you're saying, and we'll still give you some kind of a tax relief or something. But all this stuff, that's just crazy. It's just insane. You know, I'm going past Delta Sonic. You know, they got to make it bigger and better, and they don't even have the room there on Southwestern and Union. You know, Jim's Steakout. They have to build a new one here. There's one right down the road. Taco Bell, there's a new one here, and there's one down on Union.
Yeah.
Well, Union and Seneca.
To be fair to Jim Steakout, they use the old Taco Bell.
No, no. No, they did not.
They didn't?
So the brand new building next to Taco Bell, right next to the hot dog, Ted's hot dog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Cheryl, appreciate the call. I think you make some great points. Cheryl in Orchard Park. That's the one thing that will always upset me. Again, I am not against progress, but when I see a new development being built, again, Aldi's a great example. Cheryl brings up the Aldi across from on Southwestern there, on Orchard Park Road, that they just built behind Valvoline, okay? Now, that was empty field that they developed. Right down the street is what they should be doing, right? They took the old Aldi that was in the medical plaza and they put it in the old Tops. That's fine. That structure was sitting empty for probably over a decade since Tops moved into the old Seneca Mall site, right? That's what I would like to see. I'd like to see a lot of the older, empty buildings. Again, yeah, it's going to have to be redeveloped, but this is already land that has been developed on. To use that first. You know, I talk about, you drive down transit in Lancaster, and we're going to get to Lancaster in 2 seconds, and there is a plaza that looks like nothing's ever been in it. It has been empty for as long as I've been driving that stretch of transit, which we're going on 8-9 years now of me regularly driving that stretch of transit. There's been nothing in, it's like a 3 or 4 shop plaza. And then right down the street, you see development on the old,
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Oh, what used to be there? The old putt-putt place. It's like, well, why don't we move something into this developed building first before it's next to it? It's not actually the old... Before we tear down more land that hasn't been developed yet. Does that make sense? I think Cheryl makes a good point there. Don in Lancaster, and this is something I was thinking about, but I think Don probably can talk about it more intelligently than I. Don.
Hunting season for rifle and shotgun starts the third Saturday in November. Bow hunting starts October 1st.
Oh, okay.
They need to open up those suburban areas to bow hunting or crossbow hunting, which is pretty safe because an arrow doesn't go as far as a bullet. And they could cut down on the number of deer, which would cut down on the number of vehicle accidents and whatever else the problems the deer are causing. So people need to, instead of complaining, write your county legislature, write your town officials, email them, email your state senator or state assembly person and get them to work on opening up those areas to hunting, at least bow hunting. And it would probably cut down on quite a few deer.
Because like you said, the bows don't go as far as a bullet, so it wouldn't cause the issue, especially if you're keeping the safe distance that shooting in the suburbs could.
Right. In the whole area, if you look on a DEC map, the whole area, it starts in kind of Lancaster and goes to Buffalo, is closed completely to hunting. If they would open that area up to at least bow hunting, that would eliminate some of the deer, which is predominantly where they are right now.
All right, Don in Lancaster. And Don, thanks for the update on hunting. I did not realize that bow hunting was in season as we speak. Don in Lancaster, 803-0930, star 930. I'll tell you, I wish I could hunt because I actually do like deer meat. You know, I never had had it before, and someone randomly gave me like a deer kebab walking into a Bills game. I mean, we're talking about during the drought, so 10, 12 years ago. And I was like, man, this is good. And ever since then, I will have a venison burger right now if you give me one. Like I'm all down. But never had tried it before. 803-0930, star 930. We are coming up against the break. If you're on hold, we'll get to you. We haven't even gotten to the driving aspect of the topic yet. I love this. This is great. This is what I want. 803-0930, star 930. Your thoughts on the deer population. Have you noticed it? What's your solution? We've heard from Cheryl. We've heard from Don. When we come back, we'll hear from you. 803-0930, star 930. It's Beamer on WBEN.
I've been walking these streets so long, singing the same old song.
All right.
I know every crack in these dirty sidewalks.
It is Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN. We're talking about the increasing deer population. That is according to not only West Seneca Supervisor Gary Dixon, but I think anyone who's been out driving in Western New York over the last few years. I think it's been obvious. I mean, you know, you used to see a deer across the street. Hey, wait, there might be one or two more. Now a deer crosses the street. Wait, there might be 10 more. And they're all big. Like, the size of deer has increased since I hit one in 2009. And that will be a discussion we get into a little bit later. But first, let's go to Evans. That's where we find Dan. Hey, Dan.
Good afternoon.
What are your thoughts on this?
All right, I'll tell you what. I was just down in Virginia within the last 3 weeks. I bought an out-of-state license. With that out-of-state license, and this could happen in New York also, you can get $3 and six doe with one tag. They're all individually done. What they do is you can get a buck, but you also have to get two doe before you can get another buck. So you could get a buck for doe, get another buck. My brother, who lives down in, it's in Leesburg County, I believe it is, right near, I don't know, half hour from Washington, D.C. The place is overrun with deer. The guy who runs the club, he's from Western New York, lives in the suburbs, and they have a group of about, they had 13 guys that hunt. When I was there, it was crossbow. We went out, it was 80-some degrees, we went out, and we took out, seven buck, and they were all huge. There's a road that goes through that county, I think it's Route 15 or whatever they call it. Every half mile, you see a dead deer on the road. What they do is after you fill your tags, and the thing is what this group does, Paul, the guy who runs it, sends out 250 letters to homeowners. It doesn't matter if you own 5 acres or 500 acres. Out of that 250 letters, you got 56 replies that said, please come and kill the deer. They're everywhere. So what they do is they put tree stands up. They put cameras up. There's only 13 guys, and the group has to be unanimous when they have another gentleman or whatever join the group. They went out. Since I've been back, they've gotten over 20 bucks, all 8, 10, 12 pointers, and they took out 14 deer last weekend. It goes from bow hunting, crossbow hunting to muzzle loader, and I believe now it's rifle. They say that when Black Friday comes on Thanksgiving, they'll have 20 or so does that they'll get. And they all go to different spots. Two guys that are together, never alone, so that in case something happens, they have to, the homeowners turn around, they sign the paper to come on their property. And I literally was hunting on a guy's land. It looked like a golf course. They had a tree stand set up right near one of those stone walls with the woods behind it. And I literally had 40 deer around me. It was amazing. And all the deer that they get, almost all of them, they donate to a food bank. New York State could do the same thing. They could hit somebody out there who's listening to me. Maybe they'll say, hey, why don't we send out letters to all the, you know, they actually, it's a club. They actually have a name of it. I don't know what the name of the club is. And Leesburg County, they know these people. They go wherever they're allowed to go. If you don't want the deer gutted on your land, they take it off and they do it at literally Paul's house. They get rid of all the debris and all that and all the offal and stuff like that. Nothing is left behind. The property is kept up. Nobody abuses it. I've been hunting for 50 years. I've never seen anything like it. The skill and the efficiency with which they're able to eliminate some of the deer, and there's no way they could do it all. They'd have to take out 5,000 of them.
Right.
It's almost impossible. And I literally, you said you hit one deer.
Yeah.
In my lifetime of driving, I've literally hit 6 deer.
Oof.
And the last one almost went through the windshield with my wife in the car.
Oh.
It's, you know, it's like, and the last, with the windshield one, that was $12,000. They would have totaled it if the bag would have gone off, but it didn't.
Mm. Well, yeah, so, I've been fortunate. I have not hit a deer in now 16 years, but that one from 16 years ago still sticks with me, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, I just came back from Chicago with my daughter for a rugby tournament, and there wasn't a car on the road. We drove at night, and all I was doing was watching the side of the road. Saw 3 deer that, you know how they are. They just sit on the edge of the road, and they wait till you get there, and then they say, okay, we're going. It's true.
It does seem like that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Well, they're pretty dumb animals when it comes to that. But the thing is, if there's one, 10 to 1, especially this time of year, because I've been out hunting, and the bucks are running all over the place. They don't care about anything,
yeah.
Roads or anything. But the thing of it is, everybody out there at this time of year, if you're around dusk or even during the night, or it could be happening during the day now, watch for eyes. If you see eyes, start slowing down, never swerve. If you hit it, you hit it. Don't swerve because a tree doesn't give.
Yeah, no. Dan, good stuff, good stuff. Yes, shout out Virginia as well. The state of Virginia, not the University of Virginia. No shout out to the University of Virginia. But no, I mean, obviously, you know, these are things that have to be, you know, looked at, because it doesn't seem as if the population is decreasing in Western New York. Like I said, it seems like you can go to places. I mean, in residential neighborhoods, and not, you know, out in Clarence Center. I mean, residential neighborhoods in Amherst. You have deer, you know, just walking down the street. You know, they're everywhere. Let's go to Neil in Forestville. Neil.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Hey, buddy. What's going on?
Well, that lady who was talking about birth controlling the deer, I'm like, I just couldn't imagine, you know, being a hunter who harvested that deer and then some kind of, you know, like, that would be terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. But they've tried that before, haven't they?
I think with other animals, but I don't know about deer.
Okay.
Just because you're eating these things, like, and why would you want to waste any of the food? Like, you know, there's a food source out there that should be going to help these hungry people, and just, I would like to see that happen.
But yeah,
I think this is a bigger issue, and it goes to the CO issue. It goes to the police officers issue. When you kick conservatives out of your state, when you tell them to get out, what do? They leave. They take their families. These people are gun enthusiasts. They're hunters. They're fisherpersons.
That's a great point.
You know, these are people who provide things for your society you don't even see. You know, they provide you with protection. They provide you with volunteers. They provide you with food. You know, how many of these hunters donate their food after they get a buck or so? And you know, it just hurts me because you see a lot of these Democratic people. And I don't want to point a finger and say, you, but it's getting to that point where it's like, oh, my God, how come you don't see what you're doing to society when you strip away their rights, when you make it more difficult to get ammo, you make it more difficult to get a license, you basically turn people off. Now you got kids sitting around with their fingers in a computer, probably hunting on a game, but not actually going out and experiencing the thrill, the skill. You know, like it's not easy to hunt a deer, and in New York State makes it really expensive. You know, like I just got one; it was about $300 in all to have it processed, and but it tastes really good. I know where the food is out here, but the ones in the city. Like, that has to be, like, an issue, like that guy spoke of, the caller before, about Virginia. Like, that sounded like a pretty good idea. But you would have to have a really good group of people. You would have to have trained people. And, you know, like, your average PETA person doesn't want to see an injured deer running through their middle suburban yard.
Yeah. You mentioned people leaving. That's such a great point, Neil, that I didn't think of, because a lot of people who are leaving are hunters, and they're not going to come back up to New York just to hunt. So, I mean, you, it does decrease the amount of people who are, you know, helping keep the deer population down. It costs $300 after you get a deer.
It depends where you go and what you have done to it. But I had summer sausage made. I had deer sticks made, which is like beef jerky, but with deer meat.
How much food do you get with one deer? You have to shoot the deer right in the head, right? You can't shoot it in the body, or you can't eat the meat.
You have to shoot it in the body. Shooting it in the head, you know, it's such a small target. You always want to aim big and miss small. So you want to aim for the heart.
Okay.
Aim for the lungs.
That doesn't ruin the meat?
It depends where you hit it. If you hit it in the right spot in the heart, it doesn't ruin any of the meat, no.
Okay. See, I'm learning, Neil. This is...
It was about maybe $3 a pound. I mean, if you want to average it out.
Wow.
But if you include the truck I had to buy, the four-wheeler, the 50,000 in land I had to buy to get the deer. I mean,
I'm guessing you have to have a pretty big freezer at home, too, for all the meat.
Yeah, or you can it. But freezing typically works the best. I've seen, I know the Amish do a lot of canning, and their families thrive off of venison. So, but you have to add a little fat to it. Like if you get these different things made, they have to put a little bit of beef fat or pork fat in there, and that, you know, because deer are quite lean.
Right.
So if you've got heart issues or you're trying to lose weight, deer meat is the thing for you.
Wow. I mean, this is fascinating. Now, let me ask you, a regular hunting, you know, trip, I mean, how many shots do you get in?
How many shots?
Yeah, how many deer do you aim for?
I typically only get one tag. I get like a buck tag. I can get one with a bow. I can get one with a bow or a muzzle loader. If I get an extra doe tag, which I did not get this year, I can't hunt doe unless I use my crossbow or my arrow.
And you have a good aim with your bow?
Oh yeah, one shot, one deer. I also, you know, like I would be out there still hunting, but I got one on opening day first thing and filled my tag and I'm done. If they would let me, I would take a lot more down because there's a lot more people I know that would enjoy the food.
Man.
My freezer's not that big, but I know a lot of people that do.
Neil,
like the food pantries
out
the
there food pantries. On his first attempt. Got the.
Well, it doesn't always happen like that, Joe.
Neil, this is.
I spent years without getting one.
This is absolutely fascinating. I appreciate, I number one, awesome point, because I didn't even think of that, but you're absolutely right. And number two, I'm glad that now I know more. One of these days, I gotta bite the bullet and go hunting. I think I'd enjoy it.
There's a reason our forefathers had a mutual understanding of balance, checks and balances. And when you remove all of that, you get the corruption. And you get the nonsensical actions like the electric thing, the messing with the COs. I mean, these are all like, why would you intentionally upset these people?
Yeah. Well, Neil, always great chatting with you. Neil in Forestville, 803-0930, *930. Now, I had brought this, I'm so glad the direction this took, but I did bring this up to talk about the issues with driving that deer can create. I'm glad, and I think we had some great points made. Adam in Pendleton wanted to push back on something Cheryl said, and we didn't get to him in time. And Adam, I'm sorry. I know how annoying it can be to sit on hold, and I appreciate everyone who does. But the other side of this is the distractions or the obstacles on the road. You know, as I mentioned, I mean, there are times where I'm out late, 11:30 before I get home. And I mean, it's a given I'm going to see deer on my drive into Clarence Center. My way of driving completely changed in 2009 when I hit a deer on North Forest. I was coming back. The Sabres were playing a game on the West Coast. They're playing the Sharks. And I went to a buddy's house off of Maple. And after the game, I was like, I'm going to go back to my dorm. This is when I lived on. This is before I was kicked off campus. And I'm going on North Forest. And there's that little thing of water there. And, a deer runs in front of me and I slam on the brakes, miss that. I, again, did not know the rule that if you see one, there's probably going to be another one. I start driving. The deer pretty much runs into the front of my car. Now, I hit it, but it was, running as I was moving. That was the beginning of the end of the 98 Altima. It really changed the way I drive. And, that was 16 years ago. Well, it'll be 17 years in February. But that was so long ago. And still, I remember that like it was yesterday. I ended up not going back to my dorm. I ended up going to my parents' house. It completely changed. At night, I am more on guard. I'm always looking. I'm always mindful. If a deer does run out in front of the car, I know to wait, not to just start driving again. What I was looking for was, events that have happened. Because people have been in accidents, right? That changed the way I drive at night. It's funny. Like a few months earlier, I almost totaled my mom's Ford Explorer in Hamilton, Ontario on the QEW because it was icy and I was being irresponsible and the car ran into a guardrail. And that was an experience. And now when it's snowy, when it's icy outside, I am much more careful. Again, that happened 18 years ago. No, it couldn't have been 18 years ago. More like 17 years ago. Yeah, I was 20. And it changes the way, ever since that incident, it changes the way I drive when it's cold outside. It changes the way, I approach. And maybe if it's too bad, I decide I'm not driving that day, right? Hey, I don't think it's worth it unless it's something, important, like work or an emergency. So those things have changed the way I drive, and the way I look at deer on the side of the road is completely different than how college Joe Beamer would have looked at it, or how I handle ice, different than before. I got into that accident; that could have been worse than it was. And then there's also ways that, like, I watch my mirrors. Right? I never really played into the look in, check all your mirrors. Well, I've been rear-ended twice. Both times not my fault, once on the 33 exit ramp and once at Union in Genesee. And I'll tell you, I am more mindful since those accidents, looking into my rearview mirror, and if I see a car coming in hot, I start moving, right? Unless, I'm right up on someone or I start bracing myself. Because the impacts of those accidents, over a decade later, still it's impacted every which way I drive. And maybe we'll bring this back up tomorrow, but I'd love to know incidents that have happened, accidents, events in your life that has impacted the way you drive, changed the way you drive for the better, right? Being more mindful of things that can happen on the road, even things that can happen that are completely out of your control. And we will get into that. We'll probably talk more about deer. I don't think this is a problem that's going to go away. And this becomes more of a problem as conditions deteriorate outside. Think about a night where there might be ice on the roads and you also have to be on the lookout for deer. It's again, something you have to be mindful of. And appreciate all the calls. I also wanted to get to this article in the USA Today about how do I learn to parallel park? And I was, maybe we'll talk about this after we talk with the congressman. How do I learn? There is no better time to parallel park than in 2025. You know, back in my day, you know, when I had to get my license back in 2004, there was no rear view, there was no backup camera. I mean, they existed, but it was an external thing that you had to have someone install at Circuit City. There was no backup camera, and I had to perfect that parallel park to pass my test. In 2025, I've never even thought about parallel parking since every car has a backup cam. Because, I mean, I'm still surprised I was able to do it in the first try on my test day all those years, you know, 20-some years ago. But parallel parking now, how do I learn to parallel park? You have a camera. Line up your mirrors and back in. It's never been easier to parallel park than now. Like I thought the learning how to parallel park, I thought that went out the door when we got the 4K backup cams on every car. When we come back, we'll welcome Congressman Nick Langworthy. It's Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN. Yes, hour number two. Thank you for joining us on this hump day. We are joined this segment by Congressman Nick Langworthy. We're talking about my drive home. My drive home is right in the congressman's district, and he joins us now. Congressman, good afternoon.
It's great to be with you, Joe.
The Energy Choice Act, obviously we have our eyes on this bill. It has made another move. It's out of subcommittee. Congressman, explain the bill, and then we'll talk about the next move.
Well, the bill is, your station has been great, and BEN is, the whole team has really devoted itself to getting that information out there, fighting back against Kathy Hochul's mass electrification mandate. My bill is in direct response to that, and what it would do is it would ban states or localities anywhere in America from banning safe legal forms of energy based on source. And this would stunt her ability to pull this forward. And we know that she's played some games for the courts where they've called for a pause for a temporary peace while the federal government judiciary process takes place. But the reality is this was a political game. She did this so that she didn't have to face this question in her reelection, and she thought she was going to get away with it. It hasn't stopped my progress. The Energy Choice Act, I have been in total time committed to this. We have 123 co-sponsors. So virtually 28% of the House of Representatives are actual co-sponsors of the bill. All but three members of the Energy and Commerce Committee on the Republican side are. We even have two Democrat members that have co-sponsored the bill, which is a big step. We passed it out of the Energy Subcommittee of the House Energy and Commerce Committee today. I sit on that committee and led that debate today. And our next step, the House will be out for Thanksgiving next week. But when we return the first week of December, I expect the full committee will have a battery of bills to have a full committee markup, which is the time where bills can be amended. And we will work to report this out so then it's eligible to be voted on the floor.
Now, you talk about all the support it has. I mean, do you have faith once it does get through the next process that this could pass the House, pass the Senate, and be put into law?
I actually I feel very good about where we're at with the House. I have been working with our majority leader, Steve Scalise, who handles the floor calendar, made sure he understood that time was of the essence for us in New York, especially. Now we've gotten a little bit of extra time on the clock, but I don't trust this governor as far as I could throw her. So we haven't pulled back the reins at all based on her pause. I have the same sense of urgency that I started the fight with. We want to pass this by the end of the year. The Senate, we're working in conjunction with the White House. And Senators Jim Justice and Senator Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, who lead the bill in the Senate, it's an identical bill, to make sure that this progresses there. The House is the first step. We have to get it across the finish line, have to get it on the calendar. As soon as we get out of committee, I will be working every day to make sure we get a floor vote.
Now, Congressman, would this also bring back, you know, the state got rid of the 100-feet rule. Would the Energy Choice Act put that back into, would that force the state to revisit that repeal?
Well, the 100-foot rule is about who has to pay the bill. So that would be a unique issue for the state of New York to sort out. This is simply a statement of policy that states or localities cannot ban electricity or any other utility based on the source of that energy. And that's really at the thrust of what we're getting at here. Energy and the energy systems in this country are interstate commerce. Whether you're talking about the electricity, those grids cross state lines everywhere in the country. The pipelines cross state lines. I mean, you're not living in a microcosm just because we happen to live in New York. Most of our energy is either brought in from Canada or from Point South. And any decision made by a state, as it affects the overall energy ecosystem, affects other states. So they should not be able to arbitrarily impose a ban like this. I mean, it means a lot to our people here at home because, as I've said from the outset, this is a life and death situation for people in Western New York in the Southern Tier. With our cold climate, our intense winter storms from lake effect snow, we've lived this. We've lived this in the not-so-distant past in Winter Storm Elliott, the Christmas blizzard. We saw the death toll continue to rise, and some of those people froze to death in their homes. We will, you know, get this over the finish line. You know, it's a mission that people understand. They don't like ideas like this taking root in a big state like New York, because those tend to get emulated and get contagious elsewhere. And we want to put this to bed once and for all.
You know, Congressman, you know New York State very well, all around the state. Are you surprised that you and Congress have to step in, and that moderate Democrats in Albany, or that Kathy Hochul, who, you know, likes to remind us she's from Western New York, didn't see the flaws in this?
I mean, Kathy Hochul abandoned those ties long ago. I mean, just because you put on a Bill's hat doesn't mean that you still fly the flag for Western New York. It's almost patronizing. The things that she claims in her Western New York lineage, just by showing that she's a Bills fan, but it's just like, you turned your back on us and every other thing. I mean, you know, stop rubbing it in that you're from here because you act like you're from Brooklyn. I mean, she's no damn better for Western New York than a governor from, you know, the Bronx would be. I mean, she's so out of touch with reality. I mean, they tried to fight to get to the furthest left position. They wanted to beat California to some of these green initiatives, and they tuck it in a budget in the middle of the night, so there's no scrutiny, there's no public hearings, there's no discussion around the state. They inflicted on this on us on purpose and just tried to like wish and mind will the technology and the practicality to kind of fall in line. And the reality is, it's not there. The grid can't sustain this. The housing stock cannot, you know, the market can't afford it. It will have a devastating impact on our ability to build new homes. You literally have builders telling me every week that people are walking away from the table because they can't meet the 12/31 deadline, where after that, before the pause, they would have had to build a fully electric home instead of a home powered with natural gas for its heating needs. I mean, these are the realities that would be easy to forecast if you were actually trying to be an intellectually honest human being. But they weren't. They were trying to just go on pure politics and ideology. And to some of these people, for some reason, all this green movement has become a religion to them. And it is, I had to listen in our subcommittee hearing today. My biggest opponent on this bill was AOC. And that's a fight I'll be glad to have every day. And she was trying to make some argument that just didn't even make sense, that somehow my bill would prevent people from keeping people safe in a natural gas disaster. it's if that's the straw you're going to grasp at, one, it's not based in any reality. This is about the fact that you can't ban a source of fuel to heat a home and to create electricity. And when I brought up all of these inconvenient truths, they, of course, had no retort or answer because they, I think, even know they don't have an argument here. And they're just barking up the wrong tree. But this is their mission. They believe when you say, where does electricity come from? They say the plug in the wall. They don't understand you have to burn something or create this energy. And it's just completely lost on them. But these green fantasies that they have where, you know, we just put up enough windmills and solar panels and everything's going to be swell. It doesn't work in a place like we live.
Congressman, I appreciate the use of the phrase inconvenient truth after I was forced to watch that in college for a communications class, believe it or not. And
Joe, the polar bears were all supposed to be dead by now, weren't they?
That's right. I thought AOC said that we were going to that, you know, the end of the world was coming in 5 years, like 5 years ago. What's going on? Congressman, this tackles the issue that New York is trying to implement in, you know, eventually banning natural gas. You know, down the road, the state wants to ban appliances that use natural gas. Are we gonna have to tackle that next?
Well, I say, folks, if you think they're gonna finish at new construction, like it's one and done, I got another, you know, word for you. This is about full control. They're going to tell you what kind of appliances you can have in your home. They don't want you to heat your home with natural gas. They want you to use electric that's created all by renewables. We have no expansion of nuclear power. Even if we started the discussion, I had a meeting with the Department of Energy this week. Even if everything went well, the quickest you could have a nuclear power plant online is probably a decade. That's if everything went perfectly. You know, you're watching them try to build a Micron plant in Syracuse. They're already a year and a half behind schedule. I mean, this is the worst state in America to try to build something, especially something that requires a lot of public debate, like siting a nuclear power plant. We probably need 5 nuclear power plants across New York. So natural gas is widely accepted across the world as the bridge energy to a more nuclear future, if we can have safe, prolific nuclear power. You don't tear down a bridge before you have a new one built. Otherwise, you can't get to the destination. I mean, and that's just common sense. New York State declaring war on natural gas under Kathy Hochul's watch is really about the most idiotic move our state government's ever made. And because this is a climate that demands that we have huge heating capacity to keep people alive in their own homes. And they want to take that away and then you know, even these lefties today were trying to make an argument about affordability. Well, natural gas is a fraction of the cost of electric to heat a home. And a full electrification mandate, you know, the new home is going to cost anywhere between $15,000 and $50,000 more to build. But then it's going to come with an electric bill every single month in your high peak heating months. That could be $1,000 or more. For every single home, how are our seniors living on a fixed income? How are our disabled vet? How are they going to be able to afford to stay in their homes under this circumstance? This nanny state, movement here that's trying to tell people how to live their lives. Half this is the reason I wanted to go to Congress, because I felt we need federal solutions to get around our state problem. I mean, I don't want to say that we're not going to regain strength in New York, because I think we could. But we also have to get a lot of people to change their voting patterns and stop voting against their own best interests. Because if we don't change course here in New York, you know, the state is going to collapse in us. So I'm not surprised that they continue to double down on silly things like this and stupid outcomes. But we have to save the state from these in any way we can. And that's why, you know, I've kind of gone against a lot of Republican orthodoxy that a lot of my Southern colleagues, they're states' rights all the time. This is about identifying the fact that energy is interstate commerce, and we have to have a national energy policy, and we can't allow, you know, leftist blue states to just disrupt that as they have time and again with between, you know, hookups in residentially and commercially in New York, but also pipelines.
Absolutely. Congressman, before I let you go, we are just getting out of the government shutdown. And I know you and I are going to come in with a similar bias, but I don't know how you can view the government shutdown and not think that it was a complete failure on the side of Democrats.
It was a dark episode for the entire government, and it was stupid and it was silly and it was all for their politics. I mean, I happen to watch one, you know, member of Congress. I won't name by name, but, you know, stand at a food bank towards the end of the shutdown and decry the fact that nutrition assistance payments weren't going out, but then double down and say he's going to continue to fight and to keep the government shut down. It's like, you can make the pain go away today with a yes vote to stop this nonsense. I mean, nothing changed. The deal that ultimately was reached with eight Democratic senators, they could have been, it could have been gotten 40 days ago, 30 days ago, 20 days. I mean, any time they got to get serious, they could have had that deal. I mean, they didn't get anything for it, and they shouldn't, because we shouldn't hold the American public hostage for your political wills. We have elections in this country, and there's plenty of opportunity for us to have a healthcare debate and make appropriate changes to the healthcare system and really get to the bottom of why insurance companies have reached premiums the way that they have. It's not all because of the federal government, and shoveling more federal money into the profit margins of these insurance companies isn't going to make premiums go down. It's actually going to have the opposite effect. But there's an addiction to more and more public funding and trying to seduce the public into thinking that the only answer to their ills or problems in life is throw more, print more money and throw it at whatever the topic is. I mean, it's been a failure for some of our school districts. I mean, couldn't spend any more per pupil than you are probably in the Buffalo schools. The outcomes are no better. Shoveling more money into the profit lines of big insurance certainly isn't going to make insurance cheaper for anybody.
My final question, Congressman, is since we last talked, Elise Stefanik has announced her candidacy. You work with Elise in Congress. Your thoughts on her candidacy and, you know, the upcoming election?
Well, I'm with Elise all the way. I talk to her every single day. I mean, she's traveling the entirety of the state. She's obviously here in Washington doing the people's work when we're in session, but it is a massive undertaking, and she needs people to get involved, and she needs people to want to join that fight to take back New York. And, you know, here's someone that's a lifelong upstate New York resident, someone that understands the perils. She represents the Adirondacks. It's an area not all that different economically than we are here in Western New York in the Southern Tier. And, you know, this is a fight worth having. Our state is going in a dreadful direction. Our governor has the worst blend of arrogance and incompetence that I think we've ever had inflicted on the state. And we need a change. And to change New York, we need to change governors in New York. So I'm all in for Elise. I know that she's had huge outpourings of support every time she's been to Western New York, and she's going to be here an awful lot.
Congressman Nick Langworthy, always great talking with you. Appreciate your time, and we'll talk soon.
My pleasure. Take care.
That is Congressman Nick Langworthy from NY23, which, you know, I always say, I mean, I'm happy that he's my congressman. I always throw that in there. I'm happy that he is my congressman, that I have my congressman on speed dial. That's very nice. But it's also, I think, hilarious that not only is he my congressman in Clarence, New York, he is also the congressman in Hornell, New York. He's also the congressman where Tanner's from over in Corning in Steuben County. Like, the districts are hilarious. But as nonetheless, I'm very, very happy to call Nick Langworthy my congressman and always appreciate his time here on the show talking about the passing of the Energy Choice Act, which has gone through subcommittee and now will go the next step. And I think here in New York State, definitely something that we want to see done. And, you know, we want to make sure that we don't have to worry about the courts implementing this, you know, in February or March, something that Elise Stefanik mentioned. So we will keep you updated on this. And again, as the congressman said, the fight is not over. Right now, you know, we're going to watch this pass through, and obviously we're going to keep you updated as we always have. 803-0930, star 930. If you have any thoughts on this, we'll be back after the break.
Well, it's been some time. You still look like an angel.
Oh, I could let this whole song just play out. I love this song. I love this whole album, actually. It's Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN. Thanks again to Congressman Nick Langworthy for joining us in the first segment. 803-0930, star 930. You know, I've talked about scam calls a lot in the past. And there's one now. Has anyone gotten this one? It's a scam call, and they call about eight times a day, telling you that you've been approved for a loan from the loan department. I get these calls. My wife gets these calls. I think my mom said she gets these calls. This is the newest one. And it's like, you've been approved for an $80,000 loan. Now, number one, I don't think anyone would approve me for an $80,000 loan. Number two, I never applied for an $80,000 loan. It's every day. We're from the approval. And they're like so official. Hi, is this Joe? This is Ken from the approval desk. See here, we have an offer for $60,000. And I just always hang up. Like, what's next? Where are you going to get me? Like, we just need your credit card information. You know, it's maybe one day I just need to hang on so I get to the scam part of it. But it's the holiday time, and you definitely got to look out for those scams. And, you know, people try to take advantage of the mood you're in come holiday time, right? And it's all over the internet. You have misleading social media ads, social media gift exchanges. I don't know how you feel about gift exchanges. Like, it's great with the family and stuff. You know, when you start, we're doing it at work in a few weeks. And, you know, I mean, Tanner and I aren't because we're going to be working. It's while we're on the air. But, you know, I mean, I don't know what to get. I remember when I worked at Bed Bath & Beyond, we had Secret Santa. And I'd always pick. I didn't know half the people. You know, when you work retail, you've got all these part-time employees. I didn't know everyone who works there. And I'd pull a name and I go, I don't know who this person is. Like, I got to stay late now to get to know the person so I can see what $20 Secret Santa gift I'm going to buy him. You know, so I always just get like here's a Bed Bath & Beyond gift card. I'm sure you haven't seen that before. Fake toll collection text. We all get those. They extend during the holiday time. Free gift cards. You know, there's just a good life lesson that nothing is free. Right? There's always going to be some kind of catch. There's nothing in life that is free. You have paid for everything. You will pay eventually for everything, right? You might say, well, Joe, my Dunkin' Donuts app, you know, okay, but you paid to get those reward points. They didn't just throw free reward points at you. So just something to keep in mind. But yeah, during the break, I got another one for the loan. That's why I thought I would bring it up. For this last segment here, I want to, you know, it's the holiday time. And I told Tanner we were going to flip to holiday music this week and bumps, and I completely forgot. We'll do that next week. But I love this time of year. And, you know, let's be honest. We all like different aspects of the holidays. But, you know, for a lot of us, we feel like a kid again. And I don't mean the presence aspect, right? I don't think anyone in this audience is waking up at 4 o'clock. Oh my gosh, I wonder what my significant other put under the tree. You know, we're not thinking that. But you do, you know, reminisce. You know, you go back to. And, you know, one of my favorite things around the holiday time is to watch the holiday specials, right? I remember as a kid watching Rudolph and Frosty. I never liked Frosty Returns. Sorry. But I loved Rudolph, and I loved the original Frosty the Snowman. And they would air together on CBS And that was, we are in the thick of things now for the holiday season, right? And it was CBS Tuesday, like the first Tuesday in December on CBS at 8 and 9. And that, you know, again, that was one of those rare instances when I was very young that I could stay up past 9, watch Frosty, right? Frosty and Seinfeld, the two excuses, the two exceptions to the rule when I was a kid to stay up late was for Frosty the Snowman and Seinfeld on must-see TV. Speaking of must-see TV, this year, those holiday favorites that you know from CBS, well, they're actually moving to NBC. Frosty the Snowman will be on Thursday, December 4th at 8:30. And then Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer will be on Friday, December 5th from 8 to 9:15. It doesn't even say when Frosty Returns will be on, even though I think Frosty Returns is awful, so it doesn't really matter. Frosty the Snowman will come on after How the Grinch Stole Christmas. The original, the cartoon, okay? When talking about the holiday time, you know, I think of these specials, and I go, because obviously nowadays, in 2025, you can stream anything, right? You could watch Frosty the Snowman in July if you wanted to. But there is something about the television presentation that, like, I still want to watch Frosty and Rudolph live as it airs. I don't want to watch it on a streaming app. I want the presentation of, well, it used to be CBS. I want that same thing. I mean, NBC couldn't even keep the original dates. You're putting Frosty on a Friday? Are you crazy? Rudolph should be on Tuesday right before Frosty. So NBC's already screwing the whole thing up. But I'm like nostalgic like that. Like, I don't want to watch that on demand. I want to watch it live, like in front of the TV, 8 o'clock with a cup of hot cocoa, watching Rudolph and Frosty. It's like the 25 Days of Christmas on Freeform, right? All those movies you can find on Disney Plus and other streaming apps. But there's something about the holiday presentation. Like, I am a sucker for when the network will turn the bug on the bottom of the TV into like a snowflake or a Christmas tree. Like, oh, that's nice. I like that. Or a turkey for Thanksgiving. Speaking of, like, holiday, you know, I like these very generic holiday specials, right? But I know most people love the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And, like, for me, I could take it or leave it. I know people that they want to be in front of their TV. They've got to watch the Thanksgiving. They got to see Santa at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Now, I'm, you know, running the turkey trot during the parade, so I don't care. But so many people, like, that they have to watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Like, that's their Thanksgiving. They wake up, they get a mimosa, and they watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Like, for me, that is I'm not a big parade person to begin with, right? Like, when I was in my 20s, I went to the St. Patrick's Day parade. I did very little of watching the parade. Can we just be honest? I'm not a big parade guy. I'm sorry. If you ask me to be in the parade, I will gladly join. But I'm not a big parade guy. You know, take my son to a parade if they're throwing out candy. But I'm not a parade guy. But again, a lot of people love the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. They like the lip syncing when the person comes by on the float and all that stuff. And then you have the National Dog Show, which is a Thanksgiving Day tradition, according to NBC. Yeah, I love dogs. I miss my dog dearly. I'm not a dog show guy. I'm watching football on Thanksgiving, especially at noon. You kidding me? But it does bring up, How our TV viewing has changed. You know, just a few weeks ago, we had the big contract dispute with Disney and YouTube TV. Now, I would argue sports is the one thing people still love to watch live, right? It's why advertising is so expensive. And if there's anything that you want to keep on your streaming service, it would be the sports. And I'm thinking the only reason people will now switch, beside price getting ridiculous, is a contract dispute. If you don't have a particular channel that you are paying for, I'm guessing a lot of people left YouTube TV, especially now. Like, you know, ESPN's not what it used to be. I don't watch ESPN for their commentary shows because those have completely fallen off since I was in high school. But they have all the good contracts, right? They have, except for the Big Ten, they have every college league. But you don't need a cable provider to watch ESPN or any of the ESPNs. You can pay a fraction of what you pay for cable to get all that and more, right, on three different apps. It's what everyone's been asking for as long as I can remember. People have been asking for a la carte cable. Let me just pick my channels, and now we have it. But the problem is, it's so spread out that by the time if you buy all the streaming packages, all the streaming services, you're paying as much, if not more, than you're paying for cable. And that's why, like, when cable, when YouTube TV is holding out from live sports for 3 weeks, it's like, man, that's the one thing that's probably, you know, getting you subscribers. Because again, I look at all those other shows. Like, for me, I have the nostalgia. I'm guessing I'm a small number of people who still, like, certain shows they have to watch live. I'm guessing most people will watch it either DVR or watch it on a streaming service. You get what I'm saying? So I'm assuming, you know, like, you've got all those Bravo shows. I don't watch them. My wife likes those Bravo shows, right? But you don't have to watch those live on Bravo. You can just watch that on demand on, like, Peacock or something.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
So I wonder if anyone in this audience has YouTube TV and got rid of it because of the ESPN dispute. I'm also wondering if anyone has YouTube TV without, I believe YouTube TV doesn't have MSG. That's another one that boggles the mind, right? If you want to watch the Sabres, well, you could just buy the MSG app for the months of the Sabre season. And then get rid of it. I mean, no offense to MSG. No one's watching MSG after hockey season, right? You might watch the few weeks after hockey when basketball's still going on, but no one's watching MSG over the summer. You don't have to pay for it. You can get rid of it, right? That's why we do it at my house, you know? Okay. SNY, right? The Mets are playing. We're going to have the SNY. We're going to have the SNY on MLB.TV. Season's over. No offense to SNY. I don't need to watch it in the off season. So you don't have to pay for it anymore. But I that story, I think like 15 years ago, NBC taking over Rudolph would have been a bigger story than it is now. But for me, like I said, I love the nostalgia feel of watching the whole holiday presentation. You know, you get the holiday commercials. Like, for me, that's something I still like to watch live as it airs. And just a heads up, NBC has taken two of the most iconic Christmas shows, and they have and they've put it on different days. They're not even airing together. It is what it is. It is what it is. 803-0930, star 930. We've got a few seconds left here on the show. If there's anything you want to add, like I said, tomorrow I do want to get back into the driving, because we didn't even get to this parallel parking article. You know what? We're gonna get to that. We're gonna end the show on this parallel parking. How do I learn to parallel park? Parking is not always an easy task. Parallel parking can be broken down into several steps. Again, I'd love to talk to a new driver, like a 17, 18-year-old who just got their license, and I'd like to compare their experience parallel parking, always having a backup cam, to the first 8 years? No, the first 10 years that I drove. I didn't have a backup cam on my car until 2014 when I got the Civic. So the first 10 years that I drove, I had no backup cam. You want to talk about difficult? Parallel parking was difficult. Now, even the early backup cams, parallel parking was still difficult because you'd have to squint. There were people that had backup cams they couldn't use because the screen was so freaking small. Now you've got an HD picture. You can make out everything that's behind you. You can just line up the mirrors and back in. I thought we had gotten rid of parallel parking as difficult when we introduced the backup cam. I thought that changed parallel parking forever. Like I said, I'm stunned that on my test in 2004, I was able to park a Ford Explorer parallel on the first try. But now, like, I've never even thought about it. I haven't thought about parallel parking in forever. Because, again, I've got the camera. I can see the whole path. There's no question. I don't need, hey, Tanner, get out of the car and, you know, wave. Okay, now tell me, do I have to, okay, go forward? Remember that? Someone would have to get out. If there were two of you, someone would have to get out of the car and, you know, wave you. No, you've gone too far. You have to open your window. And this person, like, it's, you know, the middle of February, they're freezing. And they're like, okay, go forward a little more. You got space. Not that much space. Now we've got cameras on the back. We've got cameras on the front. We've got cameras on the side. Parking is easier than ever. Coming up next is a man that I listened to hours after aired because of the great Odyssey app. I was listening to Tom while I was driving around dodging deer in Clarence Center. Tom, happy hump day.
Hump day. Yes, of course, hump day. You threw me there for a second. What part of the show did you listen to, Joe?
I listened to the first hour, and no offense to Tanner, I listened to it with the Puckett update so I could get the full feel of it being 3 in the afternoon. Do you get what I'm saying?
Totally understand
As it's 10 o'clock, I have Rush Hour Howard telling me what the 3:30 traffic was.
Well, look, I know, Joe, that you are committed to being a phenomenal radio talk show host, and just some advice for you. Whatever I do, do the exact opposite. Kind of like watching watching Kramer on TV, like when he says invest in something, don't, and when he says don't, you do, use the opposite. So, hey, did you happen to hear the part of the show yesterday where we had a caller, I happen to know this wonderful lady, her name is Shelley, and she was at the McCartney concert on Friday. Did you hear that call?
Does this have to do with a dog?
It most certainly does, sir. That was actually the most popular part of the show yesterday, and I should have stayed with it, but I made a most grievous blunder, and I did not stay with it. But, you know, today, I want to start off with this idea of service dogs and support dogs. Look, service dogs, we didn't call them service dogs back then. We called them seeing eye dogs for blind people, but obviously canine therapy is come a long way, so an increasingly large spectrum of people are benefiting from canine guidance and support because they are service animals that are trained to do a specific task. But now you've got the support animals. And I don't know, are you sick of seeing dogs everywhere humans used to be? I know you're getting over something right now, and I apologize.
To an extent, I mean, there's a time and place. I loved my dog. I'm hoping we get a new dog soon. But you know, there's a time and a place to bring your dog, and then there's another time where, like, I don't want to have to dodge dog poop when I'm out enjoying a drink.
As opposed to Canada geese poop, which can befoul an entire territory, actually. But anyway, I want to talk about that a little bit coming up after 3 o'clock, because I just want to make it really clear. I am very partial to cats, okay? I love cats. I know that you don't like cats, and therefore 1,000 curses will be laid at your doorstep. But I also want you to know that people who don't like cats, for whatever reason, you're going to be the house. You're going to be the place where the cat in February shows up knocking at your door, looking at you with those pleading eyes. Let me in, Joe. Let me in. And you're going to be sucked into the cat world. I'm just telling you. But I want to talk about dogs being everywhere. Now, we talked about it over the summertime with the food, with the Taste of Buffalo and Allentown Art Festival and the summertime festivals. But really, I mean, I love dogs, Joe, even though I do prefer cats. I love dogs, but enough already. Enough. And let's just say this. I don't want to blow my whole show and do my monologue now, but, you know, if you don't feel comfortable enough emotionally to go to a McCartney concert, and you feel you need to bring your dog, even though you are with a human significant other, maybe it would be better for the dog if you just stayed home.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, you know, if you're going to the concert, like you said, with a person, isn't the person your support?
I would like to think so, absolutely. Yeah. And I made the point yesterday that many of us were educated in the public school system or private schools by guys who served in the European theater, the Pacific theater, in the Second World War. These men experienced the most harrowing, hellish conditions possible. And you know what? I don't think any of them had an emotional support dog. And veterans, see, I was anticipating what people might say. Well, Tom, you like veterans, so how are you going to handle that? My answer is pretty simple. Veterans are selfless individuals. They're considerate of others. And if a veteran believed that the dog would not have a good time at the concert or venue, they would just not go or leave the dog at home, because that's what veterans are. They're tough. They're considerate. They're caring people. Thank you.
Exactly. Exactly. I'll tell you, I had on a flight from Vegas to Buffalo, I had someone support dog from like five rows back. So for some reason, Tom just decided that under my chair and in my lap is where that dog wanted to be instead of where the person that they were supposed to be supporting.
Joe, you're breaking a rule here. I'm going to steal a line from Hangover, if that's okay. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Except for herpes. That'll come back with you.
That will come back with you. And I think the plane was over Montana at the time, Tom. So I think I'm... Tom Bowerly is up next after the news with Tom Puckett. I will talk with you tomorrow. Thanks again to Congressman Nick Langworthy for joining the show. Don't touch that dial. Bowerly is up next on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.